responsibility. You give us little things or bigger things, and we're still going to be faithful. We're still going to be honest. We're still going to move forward, and it's not going to bury us because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout, I'm a child of the King. I'm a son growing up. I'm an inheritor. I'm an ambassador. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. So I'm going to get the victory in all things. He goes on to say that if you are untrustworthy in worldly wealth, how many knows he wants us to be trustworthy in anything that comes to us in the state of finances? So the Lord is specifically targeting money and economy and paralleling it into spiritual stewardship and management. He said, if you cannot be trustworthy with your money, who then is going to release into your trust the things and the very riches of heaven, the true riches of heaven? So the Lord is stating that that is also a little thing. He said, faithfulness in money is one of the little things. True riches in heaven is a greater responsibility. But he says that if you're found faithful in money, and I know they don't teach it in schools like they should, and they don't, some families don't have it like they should, and that's why we got to learn how money works. That's why we got to learn how to be good stewards of our money, because if we don't steward the money will steward us. If we, sometimes they said in the conferences that we were in, they said, you know, it's 20 minutes till 7, do you know where your money is? Because if you don't know where it is, it's probably fleeting and running away from you. How many have ever broke 100 and wondered where in the world did you just get the leftover change? So you've got to understand that money. That sometimes, and I've heard preachers say before, that sometimes God will look at your checkbook to see whether he can trust you with more. Now, this is going to out some people because you need to learn. There is so many things on YouTube. There are so many things. And we've got Tim and Amanda that will teach you everything you need to know about finances and how to do things. We've got folks in here. I'll give lessons on it throughout the years. And we will do folks that have business minds. I am surprised amongst God's people how there are some that have business minds. And they can get a business up and going, another business up and going, another business up and going, another business open and going. And then there's some people afraid to get a business up and going. Do you know what all you do? Hang around and sow in the one that keeps getting businesses open. And that anointing will start transferring into your life because you'll see that they do it with ease. And now your worry and fear will go because the same principles work over and over and over and over again. Somebody said God's principles work. And then that leaves you a clue to try to study out in the Word, all of the Bible scholars, what are some of the true riches that you could be entrusted with. And, of course, we understand that part of those are the giftings of the Spirit. Isn't that something that some people that have great giftings in the Spirit, that if they fall in love with money, they can get in trouble with God? Because the love of money is the root of all evil, and that can cause a great contamination to the things of God. It means that we have to keep money as a tool to be used in the kingdom and be faithful in that. He says, if you're not faithful in another man's things, then why should anyone trust you with your own? So apprenticeship, we see that with Joseph. Joseph was faithful in everybody else's and made everybody else prosper. And when God needed somebody to save two nations, he knew who it was by process of qualification. He knew that Joseph was the right one. How many knows that the Lord knew it from his heart that he was going to be the right one? He was going to keep his integrity all the way. All right? Let's dig out. How many want to dig out just a little bit tonight the Word of God? So management, we learned a couple weeks ago, management is the ability to keep what has been given to you, whatever has been given, moving and functioning. And Pastor David said this morning, it cannot multiply if you're busy eating it. It only multiplies when you're moving it and giving it according to what the Lord has said. So functioning and going forward while the owner is away. We learned that financial wealth management, investing. Everybody shout, investing. You know, that's not a dirty word to say in church. No. Investing. It's a great word to say in church. Why? Because the Lord invested into us all the things that he's given to us for free. Right? It's the ability to turn the assets and resources into increase, doing the work to increase in value. We learned a couple weeks ago that it also investing is faith, our faith, investing the currency, faith in God, into others, that they might believe and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. How many knows that souls is the first and most important thing for the Lord in the kingdom? Second, faith in God produces God's will in the earth through us. God, faith in God, speaking in faith and possessing what he said that we could have. Faith mixed with prayer is outcome spoken, that we declare the outcome even before it actually manifests, because it will manifest. Faith worked produces salvation acquired, saved by grace through faith. That is how we become born again believers. Good deeds to others that bring glory and thanks to God. That when somebody says thank you and you have done something for the Lord, if you get enough people saying thank you produces glory. When they give, Paul said, if they give an abundance of thanks, it will produce glory to God. Say there's a compiling in the things of God. So the faster that it compiles, the greater that its dimension becomes. I'm going to say that again. The faster that something, you're not letting go of something. The faster that you build, the greater the glory of it. The faster that it compacts. I'm always amazed by the fact that the Lord has upon the poles, especially the South Pole, he'll dump all of this fresh powdered snow, and then it will compress, and that snow will turn to ice, and the ice will turn to blue ice, and the blue ice will turn to almost as hard as rock iceberg. And so you can't make a snowball out of an iceberg, but it's condensed. And how many knows whatever is condensed becomes even richer? You condense coal properly, and you'll get some diamonds out of it. Hallelujah. And so whatever is condensed, that's why we got to be able to handle greater responsibilities. Because if we can handle it upon our foundation, the Lord can get more glory, and it changes the dimension of the weight by which that we carry for the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody shout, I'm an influencer for Jesus. So not only converts, but making disciples. Passionately hungry. These disciples would be passionately hungry after all that is God taught, trained, tested, and reaching others. When faith is worked, it produces, number four, an appetite for God and investing in others to have faith. It discharges. It gets rid of things that are not aligned to God, not pleasing to God. Next is growth. It is a growth in our reading, our praying, our personal pursuit of God. Any time that we try to go into cruise control, and I found this to be true in my life, I thought, man, I got some good momentum, and I go to put it in cruise control, and the Lord says, there's no cruise control in the kingdom. You don't get to let your foot off the pedal. Letting the foot off the pedal, you will decelerate. You have to keep the pedal going. Hallelujah. And you can rest in momentum in the Lord. And then reproduction, new souls. I want to take a look now at a parable and a story that the Lord gave that a lot of the older theologians, they amazed me. Some of the older theologians, if they didn't really understand something, they'd clump it together. Anything that sounds familiar or had a familiar statement in it, they just figured that the gospel writers were wrong and they needed to all get together. When you start looking at the lady that washed his feet with her hair and her tears and wiped with her hair and stuff, the repentant woman, they will say it is Mary that poured it upon his head. Wait a minute, his feet or his head? Is Jesus upside down or right side up? And it's so many days before this and so many days before that. Either they can't tell time, or the theologians got it wrong. When you read it, the theologians will say it's one lady, but it's three accounts that are exactly different. When we pay attention to the details, we find out there's three women. One who says and cries, I need repentance because you're a Savior. The next one who takes the servant's position and then anoints his feet and puts it upon her hair. So the anointing of the master is in her hair. That is, you are my Lord. And the next one that pours for his burial upon his head as you are my King. Savior, Lord, King. It's all there in the Word. And if they clump it together, you'll miss something. Like Pastor Parsley said, when you're reading the Word, really read the Word. Slow down and look, because the Lord never got the details wrong. If the Holy Spirit is never wrong in the details, that's why if we know he's not wrong in the Word, he's not wrong when he gives us a word to give to somebody. Hallelujah. Give God a praise right there. So
Bible scholars and those that are hungry after God, let's take a look at this parable. This is the one that they say is exactly what we read before of the parable, that one was given five, the other was given two, the other was given one. And then the one with five doubled, the one with two doubled, and the one with one didn't do anything, and he got thrown out and kicked out. Now let's take a look at this one. The crowd was listening to everything that Jesus said because Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, the chief crook, had just got saved and started giving away money back to all the ones that he had cheated. And now they go, wait a minute, Jesus went to his house. All the Pharisees were crucifying Jesus with their mouth that he even went in there. And Zacchaeus came out saved and started giving us our money back. I think we'll listen to Jesus. He's got my attention now. How many knows there's just something about people getting money given to them that all of a sudden their ears come open? Well, we got two amens, and that means that those are the folks that understand that. Praise the Lord. The reason being is that folks, that they look at that as their livelihood. Therefore, when you speak to them in those terms, they start thinking, this is my livelihood. And then the Lord changes it to the livelihood is really in him. Our life is hid in Christ, through Christ in God. So let's take a look at this really close. He said he's coming near. Now, there was a misunderstanding as he was hearing. There was an impression that when he would go to the cross and be raised from the dead, that he would immediately go and take over the throne in Jerusalem. That the kingdom of God would begin right away, talking about his rule and reign upon the throne of David. So he says this parable. He says, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. And before he left, he called together 10 servants. How many was in the other parable? 3. How many's in this one? 10. Is that a little different detail? Yes, means it's a different parable. That means there's something we need to get out of it that is greater than the one that Matthew told. Let's look on. And so he said he left, and he called together 10 of his servants and divided unto them equally 10 pounds. So divided equally, they're going to get how many apiece? One. So now we've got a difference. We don't have 5, 2, 1. We have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, the first one, they were divided according to their own ability that they'd been proven, tested, and tried that they could do ability. Now he is giving to every servant the same amount at the starting point. I'm going to go away to come back eventually as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How many knows he's speaking of himself? And then he goes on to say these are 10 pounds of silver. And he said this, invest. How many knows if the Lord says invest, we ought to know what investment means. Invest this for me. This is very crucial right here because he is delegating authority. Invest for me. Now, I spent 20 plus years as a financial representative and personal advisor to things. And so when I take a look at stuff and they go, I want you to invest for me. There's certain documents that we have to sign and they have to sign, because if you really do that where you're doing it for somebody, you have to have a certain power of attorney. You can't just do it on your own. It's fraud. You can't sign their name. It's fraud. You can't just invest upon there without some kind of sign thing, because if they verbally say go do it and you don't have something signed that they say go do it and they change their mind and you lost their money on a bad deal, you're getting $25,000 fine for every single time that you did something wrong and could lose your license and never be a person that represents someone else again. And if you did it on purpose, jail time. So here, the Lord is speaking to people, and he says to them, these are servants who understand kingdom business. How many knows he wants his people to understand kingdom business? He is not looking for a remnant that come in and sit and go through a little one-hour service and leave and just live any way they want to. He is looking for world changers. He's looking for people right now. I believe we're that people. We're a people, and God's raising up people all across the nation and around the world that love God, that are after God, that are going to understand kingdom business. Hallelujah. He said, invest for me while I'm gone. In other words, I'm not going to be here to micromanage you. I'm going to need you to keep hearing what I trained you. I mean, the Holy Spirit is here to recall to our remembrance what the Lord has said. And so he said, now we do not, there were some that said we hate him and we don't want him to be king. How many knows there's a whole lot of folks in the earth today do not want Jesus to be king? But say this with me, tough. When he comes back, he's going to be king, period. No matter who has an opinion on it, hallelujah. For the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether they hate him or not, they're still going to confess he's Lord, amen. Praise the Lord. And said after that he was crowned king, he returned and called his servants to whom he had given the money. How much had he given to each one? One to each one. He wanted to find out their profits. Profits is what you have increased it by. So how many knows that if we put it in the bank, and right now with a little bit of the interest rates going up, we might be able to get 2% or something now on some of these short-term notes, where before we were getting 0.0015. But because things are adjusting, that we'll get it. I remember back when we used to have the little passport accounts, because all the little things looked like a passport, and it'd go to the bank, you'd make the deposit, and they would then stamp, and then the teller would put on there, after the stamp, would sign it and initial it that you had deposited. It was a passbook savings account. That's how I got started saving. My mom would take it down there. Now, she was real good at this because she came out of the Great Depression. And coming out of the Great Depression, you didn't have nothing to save. And so her first saving was saving green stamps and Betty Crocker stamps. Oh, the kids don't know nothing about that. Some of y'all that could be my kids don't know nothing about that. And I asked Mama, what in the world are you doing? And she said, I'm saving up these because when I get a certain amount, we can go get some of this other stuff. See, during World War II, if you didn't have a certain amount of stamps for things, that you couldn't even get pantyhose. There was stuff you couldn't buy because it was already going to the war effort. Uh-huh. And so there was a saving. And so when passbook savings come out, she started us as little kids taking a portion of our little allowance down there. After we paid tithe, we would invest. And we didn't like that investment part at first because that dug into my bazooka bubblegum money and I couldn't get any football cards. I was a consumer already. I was a spender when the time I was little. But I'm thankful that my parents, my dad taught me tithing, my mom taught me investing and saving. And so when I was a paper boy and it was time to start putting money towards a new building, I was able as a 13 and a half year old to sow $600 of seed towards our new property. Yeah, 47 years ago. Now put the inflation to that. So I had sowed my $1,000 blessing more than so. If you go back to those terms and put it into, I bet you it comes out to about $1,000. And when the Lord spoke to my heart to do it, it was just like, hallelujah, I get to do it because I've been busy saving from my paper route. Hallelujah. Because somebody had taught me some things. And so sowing that seed, the Lord started blessing my life. I still invest today. And I plan to invest in lives as well as in money. And how many are plan to do so too? Let's take a look at what happened. Said the first servant reported and said, Master, I invested your money and I made double. Wait. Is 10 times different than double? So the first parable was talking about people doubling. He was looking for the double anointing for there to be a promotion, that we needed at least to double the money. See, if you placed it into the bank and he was there for a long time, the rule of 72 is eventually that money would double. So from the first one, he was talking about the power to double, that we should at least double anything God has given to us. Give us salvation, we owe him another soul. I'm going to say it again. Everybody say amen because you've won souls. Amen. That when he gives us salvation, we owe to him to get someone else saved off our testimony, because as freely as we've received, freely give, we are to double. That's us plus one. Everyone, win one. That's that parable right there with your faith. This one, one of the guys, he took the one and did 10 times. So he has the original amount plus 10 times profit, so he has 11 bags of money.
How many knows that that original plus 10 times it? All right. Now, let's look just a little further. How many want to dig this out? Just 10 times the original amount. So, well done, the king exclaimed. Woo! King got excited. He said, I didn't put a limit on you. I just gave you the starter. I gave everybody the starter. I gave everybody the measure of faith. I give you the starter. It is up to you to invest it. And the one who invests the most is going to have the most rewards of profits back for the king. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward. What? The other parable said that you shall be rewarded and enter into my rest and you shall have more. This one starts talking about cities. That if I do 10 times what the Lord's given me, that I'm going to be governor over Dallas, Los Angeles, New York, Charlotte, North Carolina, Seattle, Hong Kong, Winnipeg, London. I got to get to 10. I got to name 10 of them. Now, Lord, what in the world are you talking about? Because if I preach to you that folks right here, we're going to be governors over all those cities. They would have to be into politics to be governor over a whole state. Because you don't have governors over counties. And those counties only have a couple real cities. They have villages and towns. So I had to ask the Lord, what in the world are you talking about? We're going to find out in a minute. But I want you to understand governing ability came because the one took off and did 10 times. Now notice the next one says that the next servant, he sees his reaction of his master, so and he's not embarrassed. He's done some too. He says, I've invested your money, made 5 times the original amount. Well done. And the king says, you will be governor over 5 cities. How many see that? The one that did 10 times gets 10 cities. One who did 5 times gets 5 cities. And now we got the third servant. But the third servant said, and he brought back only the original amount of the money and said, Master, I hid your money and I kept it safe. I was afraid because you're a hard man to deal with. Taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant. He said, you wicked servant. Now, how many is this? This sounds like the other parable, doesn't it? The king roared, your own words condemn you. If you knew that, by your words, if this were true, that I'm a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops that I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? How many of this sounds like the other parable, right? At least I'd have gotten mine with some interest on it. And then turning to the others standing nearby. Now, how many did he start with? 10. How many have reported? 3. How many have not reported yet? 7. Who are they? Others. Who are they? The others. Now the Lord said, for the sake of the parable, I'm only going to have them be the others. Now these others are not in the department of the one who just keeps the money and brings only the original. So in my understanding, I believe that the 7 others were the ones that least doubled. They met the requirements of the other parable. But the one here that was unfaithful was the same one here that was unfaithful in ties to. But there's 2 added to what was going on. That's why he needed to do the 10 servants. And he says to the other, and it should be the other 7 standing nearby, the king orders, take the money from this unfaithful servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. Now, how much does he really have? 11. His money is, the original amount is set over here. And the Lord says, what were your profits? So the man that's unfaithful sets his original amount, but he has nothing to show for it. So that was already gifted to him. That was the king's already. And what he made was really the king's. But now through this, the man with 10 has 10 profit. He's turned it over to the Lord. While the king is celebrating he's going to make governor, he has slid something back his direction. He has returned
The profit that the man made for the king is now the king's investment in his governing ability of the next promotion. So they say the man here still has 10. He turned the one in. The king gave him back 10. And now he gets the one. Wait a minute. The man that didn't do anything turned in his original investment. That's the, and the king says, take that one before he gets to turn it in. Strip it of him and take it over here and give it to the one with 10. Now the one with 10 now has 11, which is exactly what he came forth to the king with. Now watch. How does that associate with the fact of what was preached this morning? That if you give the king what he's given you and watch it multiply to touch the lives of people, that you're going to end up with basketfuls, with resources back that were not yours. When the king then says, now that's yours, he has relinquished it during the time of promotion and said, what you have done for me now is your reward. Watch this, children of God. Why shouldn't we do everything we can for the king who bought us and paid a price for us and saved us? Why should we not do as much as we can do for him? But in the end, he's going to say, you know what? What you produced for me, I'm going to put glory back on you for bringing glory to me. And glory has weight. Glory has influence. Glory can be seen. Glory has financial resources. Woo, hallelujah. Now, we don't have the authority to take it for ourselves. But if the king transfers it to our lives, can't nobody stop it. If the king transfers it to our lives, can nobody stop it? And then after all is said and done, he said, now bring those haters to me. Bring those ones that said that they were my enemies, verse 27, who didn't want me to be their king. And he prophesies the war that's going to happen at Armageddon. Bring those enemies of mine right before me, and they will be executed right here in front of me. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus, when he comes back, he ain't bad like no lamb. He's coming back with a roar as the Lion of Judah. And the Bible clearly says that when he comes back, he will come back to judge and to make war and then set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. Somebody shout, that's our Jesus. And let's take a look then. Let's take a look real fast. All of the 10 servants are given exactly the same to invest on the behalf of their master. We've seen that, totaling 10 pounds of silver. Now, when we add it all together, that one brought 10 more, another brought 5 more, that's 15. And we know that 7 probably brought one more apiece. And so that's 14 and 7 is 21. So the master ends up with 31 pounds of silver. Because the one who didn't do nothing still could not stop the ones who were making the profit. How many knows that some lazy folk ain't going to stop the remnant from arising? The folks that don't do nothing are not going to stop us from profiting and touching somebody's life and causing others to receive a testimony of Jesus. And then they're going to feel the real Jesus and the love of Jesus that we had, and it's going to multiply in their lives. Hallelujah. Woo! And each one in order that was invested that and did so was given authority. Authority. Now, that's what they had when they invested. They had delegated authority from the one who owned it. Now he said, because you made profit for me with delegated authority, I'm going to give you greater responsibility and greater authority. Hallelujah. I'll just go on past that. So delegated authority is always accompanied by responsibilities. For you, in order to have the delegated authority, you got to agree. You got to agree. Now, as we were putting up stuff, Prophetess was here. Folks had helped her through the day, and she was trying to get this banner up out here. And then trying to get this banner up here, she found out she wasn't an octopus like we think the sister Lolita is sometimes with all these keyboards. Praise the Lord. And so she realized that two hands, she cannot get this up. So she calls Amanda, and Amanda comes to help her, only has a small window of time because she needs to go on a date with her husband. How many are glad for husbands and wives that have some time to go on a date? Praise the Lord. All right? So we got just a small window of time. Now, if Amanda comes to help Prophetess and tries to do it Amanda's way while Prophetess is trying to do it her way, how many knows we're going to run out of time? We're going to be frustrated. And is the banner going up? Nope, it's probably going to be torn. Probably have to order another one. Something's going to be wasted. So Amanda has to get here. She has to yield to the vision of the one with authority and has to come to the same pace and see the same vision and be able to match it as quickly as possible because she's got a husband waiting for her. So she's got to do it as quick as possible. That means she's got to pick up the pace. That means we've got no time to try to think it through. Whatever is given to you to do, like my dad has said before Nike ever came up with it, just do it. Just do it. Don't have time when the Lord says something to think about it. Just do it. And when you do it, it gets done right. It gets done in timing, and it moves forward. I want you to see then that in that timing of agreement, you receive authority from the Lord to operate in His name. How many knows that we see the apostles begin to speak and they say to the man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. They used his name. After a while, Paul starts going forth in authority that he's already in the name of Jesus. So he just simply casts out demons without ever having to use the name. Why? Because it's already understood who he represents. Because he's been faithful in using the name. It's already a signature in the spirit that when he speaks, it is in the name of the Lord. He's not speaking of his own flesh. He's not doing it in his own will. So there's a name that declares the authority. So they bring the disciples in, and the disciples say, you're trying to ask us by whose authority and whose name. Everybody say, name and authority go hand in hand. This is why you can't let the gangs name you. This is why you cannot let society name you. Because whoever names you and you own that name, you've given them authority in your life. Whoever has the power to name you is your authority. That's why we can only have the Lord be our authority. And he has a new name written down in glory for you and I. And it's all coming from him. Now, if we take his name here and do it well, he'll take our name before the Father. And there will be a great exchange. And how many have made that great exchange many times? Hallelujah. And so in this, the name declared authority gives authority then to a person who has been responsible to now name and claim in the authority without the person actually being there. The power of authority, once that it is transferred into your life, now it can be taken away from you because it is conditional in some areas. It's conditional upon proper stewardship and faithfulness. But that power of authority, right now, we've got a name change. And it took a little while for Miss Megan to get all the paperwork legally done to change to McClintock. And I'm so glad that she didn't go with 14 names. She had a middle name and her third middle name and her maiden name and this name and then that name. She decided to change the name. How many knows that when we got saved, when we got saved and became a child of God, we took on the family name. In the earth, the authority is in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The family name is God. So turn to everybody and say, you're the family of God. You're a child of God. All right, when my kids were born into my family, we wrote down on their birth certificate, David, Justin, I don't know. David, Justin, whoever it is. Or was it David Justin McClintock because he was born into the family of McClintocks? So if you're born in the family of God, I want you to tell your name and authority in the earth. Here's how I do it. I am named physically Donald Joseph McClintock. By my second birth, I am Donald Joseph McClintock hyphen God. It's the family name. I am a son of God. If we did it in Scots-Irish, it'd be McGod. McGod. Son of. MC is short for son of. That's why the enemy is constantly trying to come at your identity, because you are wearing authority and operating in authority that if he can convince you you don't have, you won't operate in it. And it is that authority of the Lord that produces the very power of the voice of God coming forth from you that every enemy has to tremble, because it is the voice of God through you, through agreement, authority, and identity. You are housing He, the Holy Spirit. You are temple of the Holy Spirit. You're in one accord with the Holy Spirit. That means the Spirit of God is to breathe through you, flow through you, speak through you, and operate through you. How many knows it goes a whole lot better when He's operating through you? So the enemy has to get you sidetracked over to an old mindset, which if he can get you sidetracked in the old mindset, I know, he's fought with me. My dad told me, he said, the greatest battle is going to be between your two ears. And Pastor Parsley told us at Fire and Glory that the greatest ability for the kingdom is between your nose and your chin. So I put those two together. If you can win the battle between your ears, you'll have authority between your nose and your chin. I don't have to receive what other people say negative against me. Some people came to me and said, how is it that folks can say something to you and you act like it just bounces off of you? Because I have my shield of faith. I knew they were throwing daggers. Why do I have to let it go all the way into my heart and then have to have it plucked back out and have my heart healed over and over again? There is a place, saints of God, where we're not trying to be anymore. We are who God says we are, and we are becoming and are being everything God says we can be. Therefore, when He speaks to us, we're doing what He says we could do, and we can have what He says we can have. It is what God put in us that is flowing through us that's getting on us. And when it gets on us and even flowing through us, we're going to have resistance. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have people that don't like that, because you see, when the power and authority is flowing through you, it upsets the authority of the enemy, because the Lord said, I give to my disciples power and authority over all. The power of the enemy, which strips the enemy of the old authority, because the keys are no longer in his hands. They are in the hands of the Lord, and he said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you got more authority than you know. But prophetess found out that she was in a project that she did not have the singular authority to get it done, the ability to get it done. She couldn't just say to it, hang yourself on the wall. Sign in the wonder. It goes up and angels put it up for her. Didn't happen. She needed someone to come into agreement, because the project required more than. There are some things that are personal that you can get done by yourself. But there's other things the Lord said when you're dealing with the world. He sent them two by two. He sent them in ways that they understood that there would be in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word be established. If you agree, two of you or more agree, touching anything on earth, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. It is the power of your authority in agreement. So each and every one of us have kingdom authority as a son of God, a child of God. And so there are some things that you can't move by yourself. So you bring another person that has the same kingdom authority along with, and you come into agreement that this is what God wants. Now two putting their authority together, there is greater power in what they do and say. So to go after strongholds in the city, you're going to need more than that. You're going to need more than one. See, agreement is the harmony and accord with consistency. Consistency. Everybody say consistency. How many know the enemy has been consistent about doing evil? And it doesn't matter how many of evil people die, he jumps onto another evil person from another generation, and they go as long at continuing the same mantra of coming further and further, going more evil and going away from God. What does the church have done in the past? Keeps restarting. Folks die, and it's got to be restarted. My heart always grieves when there are not spiritual sons and an older minister dies and mantles fall to the ground. Because no mantle and no anointing ever leaves the earth. But if there is not an Elisha to pick it up, and there are only sons of the prophets watching with their binoculars, it'll never be picked up and authority will not be used. So I don't get happy when things of God are left on the ground. The little bit of knowledge I know playing piano was because my best friend backslid, left out of church, and left a hole on the piano. We had talked about him playing the piano and singing, and me preaching, being the ministry team. I was just too early, had the wrong partner. Now I had the right partner in prophetess. Hallelujah. Now she does an awful lot more preaching than I do singing and preaching, praise the Lord, because I don't sing as much as I used to. So there's a few rusty notes in there. Hallelujah. But I saw the piano dormant. And I started grieving. I went over and started crying tears on the piano, asking and begging the Lord to transfer that anointing of that young man that's left and put it in my hands. And I only was able to get a little bit of it. Over these next 40 years, and he's still alive, he's only touched the piano twice, and he doesn't remember how. That gifting is completely gone from him. Because the Lord won't turn it back on unless he comes back to Jesus and gets turned back on to the Lord. Because it was a gifting given by God, not just a regular gifting and then transferred. So I got a little bit out of it. I got enough out of it that religious folks thought I was playing rock and roll. That's because my rhythm was left-handed backwards. How many know sometimes you just end up doing things a little different than anybody else? And you're just doing the best you can with it. I got a nephew that, if you don't know it, he has one of the types of syndromes that male get. What's it called again? The ones that anybody that knows my nephews. Autism. Yes, thank you. See, I don't even relate to it that much, so he plays praise and worship, gets called to places to play praise and worship. He's doing stuff that only he had, went into a place that just played for Jesus. What people don't know is that he's left-handed, just like his uncle. Me, I always, if I were to play a guitar, I go in looking for a left-handed string guitar to be able to do it. He plays everything perfectly with his left hand, with the guitar upside down. So when Brandon was here and was playing, the guitar was upside down. To play it, he strings the opposite way of normalcy and gives God glory through the abnormal. And defies everything that he's had to go through. He found a way to praise the Lord even through his difficulties. And the Lord has honored him, and he goes and plays at other churches. They invite him to come play for the youth because he's so in love with God and wants to sing for God that he found a way to give God glory through the difficulty. He found a way of building a symphony with the Lord. agreement with a higher rank in mind and mission to pace and to accomplish alleviates frustration. It produces momentum. It is shown not by spectating, but by participating with your energy, your trust, your motivation in synergy, in sync with the authority. And when we agree with Jesus, how many of us, when we agree with Jesus, things start to happen? And say, don't stop. Turn to somebody and say, don't stop. Make your yes to Jesus unstoppable. Because when your yes to Jesus is unstoppable, people get saved, people get healed, people get delivered. When your yes is unstoppable, then the enemy cannot stop you. Hallelujah. Because your yes agreement with the Lord's authority produces a legal binding contract. It is a yielded faith that makes contractual document that will produce an outcome. It's called a title deed. That when you come into agreement with the Lord in any situation, when we come into agreement together, when we go long enough together, we are producing a title deed that must come to pass that we can show the adversary and say, it's mine. Get out of what's mine. Your steadfast agreement of faith in the authority of God, that he delegated authority to you in the name of Jesus. Shout, he delegated it to me. That authority is the power or right. And Miss Melody, you can turn that up 2 degrees before everybody freezes. Just push it up to 72 or 73. It's amazing how 70 freezes everybody out. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Look at this, the power of the right granted by author or the authority to give orders. Somebody say, you have authority in your voice to give orders in the areas that God has given you authority for. You have the right to make decisions, whether the enemy likes it or not. You have a right to call for enforcement of that obedience. And the enforcement comes through angels. The enforcement comes through the power of God. That when you declare the thing that God says to declare, it has to happen. Your faith knows that it has to happen. And sometimes the enemy tries to resist, and that should say, all right, then you're going to try to resist. Feel the fire handcuffs of the angels that are coming to get you right now. The enemy knows that. He also knows the tip of Michael's sword. The swords of those angels that are executing judgment are fire swords. And they burn on those enemies with a very endowment of what hell feels like. Hallelujah. It's a supreme authority in specified sphere of influence. Somebody say, I have an area of influence. Expand my territory, Lord. Starts with governing your mind, governing your lifestyle, governing the things around you. Then it expands. Because then you start sharing with others. And then it starts expanding that ability to govern. Because when you agree with Jesus, you're agreeing with God. And when you attach your faith to Jesus' authority, he says that you're attaching greatness. How many knows Jesus' authority is greatness? You're attaching greatness to your faith, and it transforms into great faith. Just watch the centurion soldier. The centurion soldier had a servant that he wanted to be healed, and Jesus said, I'm going to go to your house, and I'm going to heal him. And the centurion soldier said, I'm not worthy that you'd come into my house because you're of such high authority. You're greater than Caesar. Now, I'm a man under authority. And a man with delegated authority. And I say to servants, go, and they have to go, or they're going to die. And come, and they come, or they're going to die. But this palsy that's got a hold of my best servant is outside the realm of my authority. But he's not outside the realm of your authority. Master, you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word from here, and that thing is going to leave my servant, and he's going to be healed. And Jesus went. Jesus had an awe, stop in his tracks moment. The man understanding authority put his faith in the authority of Jesus, said, you don't even have to touch him. Just speak the word John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and that the Word is Jesus. And he said, if you just release the Word that's God, everything that's the sickness and disease has to obey you, even if it's a spirit. I don't understand things about spirits, but that spirit that's on my servant has to leave off of him. Just speak the Word only. And the Lord said, and he looked around even to his disciples, and all, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. Peter's like, James's. He put all of them on trial instantaneously because a man that was a centurion soldier, a Gentile, a ruler over 100 but had to give account, mixed his the understanding of authority with his understanding of that with his faith with the Lord. And the Lord said, he's just hit a level that if I can get my disciples, how long have I been with you, James, and you still don't know me? Think about this just for a moment. How would we feel if somebody that only been saved 3 days was able to believe God for a miracle that we've been trying for 18 years? And immediately we'd say, how come they were able to get that and we've been at it for a while? Because there was something we were not making in exchange, authority. As long as we understand that he's not only our dad, but God is God. He's not only our father, but he's still God. Because it is not the familiarity of being family that is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And as long as we can make that, he loves us as dad, but we must have his authority in our life. And if we will bring our stuff to authority, every time we do, somebody say, every time I do, his godness shows up. And everything else has to go. That's what they're going to hear. They're going to hear the God side of your voice commanding that. In the days to come, the revival that has been lit, there is going to be many of God's people that have been with the Lord that already know that the power of God is in your hand and is in your mouth. There's going to be people by so many that will need hands laid on them, for they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Apostle, come lay hands on everybody. I can't. There's 5,000 people. I don't have the strength to lay hands on everybody. So I need to release ministers and release people who already have faith, who've already seen miracles, who've already helped pray for other people. I got to release you. You take those 10 over there. So the Lord, when he blessed the loaves and the fish, he gave to the 12 and he said, you go this way, you go this way, you go this way, go distribute, go distribute. And the Lord himself stood and watched. There's coming a time where he's going to send his people that know, and there's no time to say no to him. When he releases, anyone who says no, instantly rebellion is going to be seen by everybody. Here we are ministering, there's miracles happening, and somebody said no. How many of us, we're going to be the ones that say yes? Yes. Why? Because we don't have to be afraid. It's his voice, his authority. Our faith is, I trust him. He will not let me down. Matter of fact, there is a ministry that out in California, they had some youngsters go with, and there was one that was a 15-year-old, and the 15-year-old was sent by the man and said, you go lay hands on these folks. He hadn't laid hands on anybody. Had just been sent while on this missionary trip. He sent him. He laid hands on one. The man's eyeballs pop open. He lays hands and says, another one comes up, he lays hands on, and their eyes pop open and their ears pop open. And he's just using the name of Jesus by the delegated authority, all in pure faith. He comes back to the United States and he looks at his pastor and said, is there anybody I can lay hands on? Because I've already seen God do it, I know he'll do it. Because once that it was broken and multiplied through his hands, he knew he could believe God to do it over and over and over and over. The first two times was just simply out of faith. that somebody had told him by authority, had told him, you can do it in the name of Jesus. And it happened. After that, he said, give me somebody to pray for. And that's where we have enough learning now. It's time to be ready. It's time to then do it. I'm so thankful that you are a people that when somebody says, can you pray for me, you'll pray for them right then. You'll, no matter where you're at, you lay hands on them right then. They come say, pray for me, and I'm in Walmart, I'm going to pray for them. And they come ask me, what are you doing? They asked me to pray. And they were in such need, I couldn't just take them outside. They needed it right then. How many of us, there's some people need it right there. The first time somebody asked me to pray for them outside church was in the parking lot of a Pizza Hut in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And they said, can you please pray for me? I said, are you ready for me to pray for you right here in the parking lot? Because I'm not going home to pray for you. I'm praying for you right now. They lift up their hands and say, I need it right now. I'm not telling you any story. I need it right now. Prayed for them right there. The power of God touched them. Hallelujah. And their pain left their body. Be that brave. Be that brave. And we got a lot of folks that are brave. I knew when we were just canvassing, and I will say this, I knew when we were canvassing, as Miss Jessica and Brother Eric went up on this porch to tell the lady all about back to school, I saw Brother Eric take his hat off. And when you take your hat off, because you're in the presence of a higher authority and it's out of respect, he took his hat off. And I said to the others that are in there, I said, I've got to film this because I know they're getting ready to pray for that lady, because he already took the respect that God's getting ready to do something. And it was like an instantaneous understanding that the Lord's going to show up. It'd be almost as if you saw someone else go, and they reach out, grab somebody's hand, and bow their head. How many knows what they're doing? And they're not praying over the meal. They're on the porch. All right? Right? And so the thing is, every one of us are going to have those opportunities. And we're going to have them over and over again. You're already getting opportunities. But what the Lord is reminding us is that we are in the spot right now where we're building for governing. We're in schooling for ruling and in training for reigning. This governing, if we do this and understand the power and authority, see, because God's kids, the enemy is going to have problems with us. I'm not just talking about Eagle Heights Worship Center. I'm talking about all of God's remnant that is arising right now, that is coming up. Where the pandemic tried to shred the church apart, the church, the body of Christ, is coming back together with a strong love and a strong surge in the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we refuse to be stopped. We refuse to be silenced. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on in the fires of revival. We're going to keep on going for the glory of God. And we're going to do what we need to do. And if something won't move, we'll call another brother and sister and say, I need some extra help over here. We need to move this. And if we can't do it as one church, we'll get together 12 churches and we'll speak over a city until the city comes to revival. Till there's revival in every school. There's revival on the school board. There's revival in the city councils. There's revival in every university. And there's revival in every church. And revival up and down the streets. We're going to see the move of God before the Lord comes. Somebody shout hallelujah. Folks that govern, I said he's returning for the 1,000-year millennial reign. Those that have refused the mark of the beast, those that have been willing to lay down their life, those that have been willing to govern and have done it with all the passion to do it for the Lord. He said in the 1,000-year reign, none of the rest of the 8 or the 7 had this. The one who produced 10 times and the one that produced 5 times, they went beyond delegated authority to governing authority. And folks, you'll tell when you are coming into a type of governing authority when other authority not only knows who you are, but begins to have to ask your permission or advice for something in the earth. I saw something happen that's just love-related. It's not even governing part. It's just love-related. For nearly 20 years, we have been going and praying and believing God for some and then for more and more of elected officials. And in this, I had elected officials on Saturday as I reached out my hand, Dr. K, because we're in this rally, everybody's shaking hands and everything. Reached out my hands and they wouldn't have it. They pulled me for the hug, for the love of God. These are godly people. They just didn't need a handshake. They're handshaking everybody. That's what they normally do. That's the political thing to do, is handshake with everybody. But when we connected, they said, oh, no. Apostle, give me a hug. I was like, because at first I was like, all I'm going to do is reach it, you know, because we're in this gathering that a whole lot of people don't know. But we're going to go ahead and do that. And then something happened that I'm glad my family wasn't there, because they'd have been embarrassed. They usually are when I take governing authority. The man at the, and I'm going to say his name because he wasn't given the proper instructions, so he didn't really understand protocol, because he's never been to prophetess's classes or mentorship, and he's an elected official, and he probably should. He got up there and says, what you've been waiting for, the buffet is now open. That was the extent of the instructions. Here's a room of 500 and some people, and everybody looking at each other. I'm going, I know this is going to be chaos. Hungry people with no instructions. Boom, great big old line, and I'm standing in the line. Now, I'm tall enough, folks, I can see that there's something a little different about this line, because normally we do what with our buffets? Both sides, right? Well, they have servers on one side, but I'm looking, I'm going, oh, there's some people coming this way, there's some people coming this way. I said, would you hold my spot in line to this precious Baptist couple that I've been talking to, that they knew now that I was a preacher? Hallelujah. And I went on up here, and I looked right in the face of the man who is the manager of the line. And I said, sir, are there two lines, and how does this operate? And he said, yes, there's going to be two lines. They're going to come, it's the same thing on this side to the middle, we're going to serve. Same thing on this side to the middle, they're going to go up the middle. And I went right in the middle of all those folks, and said, can I have everybody's attention? Oh, yes, I did. Can I have everybody's attention? The manager has just informed me that there are two lines. There are two lines, same amount, and you're going to go in one side, through the middle, and more people are going to be able to be served. All those that would like to follow me to the other line, come this way. In my early years, Brother Tim, there'd have been nobody following but one hungry hobo. The one who was the most hungriest in the place. But a swarm of people heard the authority in my voice and followed me to the other line, and we sped everything up according to its proper order. That proper instruction, did they know me? No. Did they know what was going? No. What did they know? I had got the information and was glad to share it with them. With authority. When I said, can I have everybody's attention? No microphone. Said it out loud. I got most everybody's attention, except for a few of them that were still shaking politicians' hands up front. And when 200 and some people follow me over to the other side, I knew that I had used governmental authority. Was I embarrassed to do it? No. When I stood in line, I said, I'm glad my family ain't here, because every time I do that, they get all, I'm not with him. I don't know who he is. Is that your husband? Nope. Is that your dad? Nope. Judas. Betray me. I had to play. All I did was use what I learned from prophetess. That she taught us that an instruction brings order. Order brings pleasure. A whole lot of people got to eat faster, so they had smiles on their face. And so that you have also. It's not wrong to properly. I was not trying to say, hey, I'm Pastor so-and-so, and they get, no. I was not there to tell about who I was. I was there to make the instruction
that needed to help the people. And when we do so, that's what's going to bring about a great thanksgiving and understanding. Simple instructions. It first started with what I knew, and I couldn't stand something being wrong about what I knew. Have you ever had that irking part of what you know, and you know that if you could get in there, you could help, and you could help bring order and pleasure to it, and it just, and it eats at you? Well, you need to ask the Lord, is this, first of all, is my place to just give a suggestion to the people, or is it something that needs to be handled right away? How many knows if there's an emergency, there's no time to pass a note to somebody? If there's an emergency, you've got to take your rightful authority. And how many people are going to hell and it's an emergency? We need to take our rightful authority. There's people who need to be released out of the bonds of their victimization and what the enemy's been tormenting their lives with. And they're all around us, and some of them don't know they're being slowly poisoned. But if we'll keep shining the light. See, the one thing that happened to Jesus as I close, he started teaching the people. And they were marveling at his doctrine and at his authority. They said, he is one who speaks with great authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees who are religious. They really don't have God's authority. They're just religious. But this man speaks and devils are drove out, and speaks and people are instantly healed. And his doctrine that he talks about is with power and authority. His disciples even wondered at the authority he had given them delegated. Here's what I said. All you got to do is speak what I said and something will happen. But they couldn't put two together. So they woke him up saying in their panic, don't you care that we perish? He said, there's three things I'm going to rebuke and use my authority. Wind, peace, waves, be still. And then he turns right around and looks at his disciples. Where is your faith? What was he telling? If you had put your faith in what I said, when he said, let us go to the other side, it was not just to his disciples, but the wind and the waves heard the voice of the Lord. But because he went to sleep, they thought they could rise up. They rose up for one test and one test alone. And that was the fact, was there one single disciple that would say, hey, the master said. That's what Peter and John got by the power of the Holy Ghost. Where they said, we ain't got silver, we ain't got gold. But such as we have, what we can give to you, what we have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. And he grabbed him by the hand and lifted him. As soon as he began to lift him, the man was healed. Now the Lord wasn't there, but the Holy Ghost was. And he, the Holy Ghost, had partnered with Peter and John's faith to speak and declare in that authority of the name. Say, I can speak the name of Jesus. This is why that song was ringing and it's ringing again. And I want to sing it again. I want to pray for some folk because I want to agree with your authority that God has given to you. Because the Lord is going to unction you in the places of your influence. Authority doesn't have to be loud. I was, just the last story, I was sitting in Jefferson City awaiting for some elected officials several years ago. They said, Pastor, just wait right here. And when we're done with this innermost chambered meeting, we've got to have it because we don't have, there's one man that we can't seem to get their vote. We've got a bipartisan bill. We just can't seem to get this one vote left. So I sat and prayed. I didn't know what it was about, but I knew I was there to pray. And as I was praying, the legal aide comes out and says, Pastor, you've been requested to come in and sit along with us aides.
I have no law degree, but I sat in a room that other people don't get access to. I was the only non-paid or elected official or person inside that room. How many knows the Lord brought me in that room? He brought me in that room for one thing and one thing only, that I understood protocol and he could say something in my ear. I began to listen to the conversation of what they were trying to do, and it was a very, very good thing they were trying to do. And the Holy Spirit spoke into my ear, Sister Lene, and spoke the answer. Now, I have no place at the table, Sister Monica. I'm sitting with the aides. But I've noticed in protocol that legal aides write things down and slip it to the officials. So I grabbed a piece of paper, Brother Tim, and I wrote down exactly what the Holy Spirit just said right here in this ear. I wrote it down, folded it in four, handed it to the aide and said, give it to the official. And he said, I can't reach him. Can't reach him. So I leaned over, I get his attention. Leaned over, and we did the little pass in the notes like we're not supposed to in class. Pass the note. He reads the note. He puts it down. They continue the conversation. Holy Spirit says, you've done your part. Now watch. Because I learned many days ago, I don't need any credit for an answer. I just need to see the answer performed. And then I hear the elected official say, well, what about this? One of the other senators, lady senator, said, that ain't going to work. And the man who they needed their vote said, wait a minute. Say that again. The man that I'd passed the note to said it again. That senator said, if you write that into law, into the statutes, I'll vote for it. What the Holy Spirit spoke got put into law, and I'm not an elected official. He can, with his authority in us, listen, he can bypass everything that is norm. Say, well, I don't have a legal degree. What am I doing? I'm not an elected official. What am I doing? No, I was there because sent as an ambassador of God. That's all I had to do was obey the Holy Spirit and let him do what he wanted. I didn't know what he wanted. But then when that man said, put this into writing for law and I'll vote for it, I went, without action, I went, that's what the Holy Ghost was wanting? I felt like that little kid on Home Alone with the aftershave. Ah! And you'll say, what am I doing in the palace? Why has he made room for me in this room? Why am I here? Because your connection was to do what the Lord said, and the seed was planted, and now he begins to do something that would be exactly what he wants done for his cause amongst the people. I won't tell you what it is because I don't want it to ever be prideful and bragging. It was the Holy Spirit's doing. The folks that were there know what it is. The man I slipped it to knows. You can be the right person in the right place at the right time, just listening, because he needs your authority that he's delegated to speak what he says. Because if you speak what he says, he'll perform it. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to speak the name of Jesus. We're going to